Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Series 2, Episode 21 of the main pod of Ought Know Better. I can't actually believe we've been around that long. I mean, when we first started out, lads, I thought, do you know what? This ain't going to last that long. You know, the amount of paddies that were in the group and that. But yeah, joined tonight by Mad Adam, a.k.a. Tic Tac. And I'll tell you why I called it Tic Tac in a short while. The orange Tic Tac. And the Irish Celino. We are due to have Matt joining us, but I think ironically, the only person who works for computers has a fucking shite computer. So we're here with what did I call you? I called the January
scales.
January scales. Yeah, scales. We'll come into that. We'll talk about the nicknames that I gave you all tonight when we get into the pod. But as we do before every pod, we'll just play this beautiful intro. Courtesy of Skylights. Thank you, everybody, for joining me on this. What is a wonderful blue Tuesday? It's the first Tuesday after the bluest Monday of the year. I hope we're all doing a little bit better. And just looking forward to. We're in a position now this week where we're actually looking forward to the fixture. I think the last couple of weeks we were looking forward to playing a tough West Ham team. Before we get into chat about the West Ham team and everything else that's going on tonight, I'll just give you a little brief overview on why I called you, why I came up with your nickname. So basically, Matt's doing some. Do you want to tell him, Matt? Let's see if your mic's working and everything's wired up. Do you want to tell him why
you're
on January scales?
You hear me all right?
Yeah, just about. Yeah, I'll do.
Because I've lost 12 pounds and not monetary. In fact, 13 today, because I weighed in. So I'm trying to be the biggest loser. It's a real struggle against this lot.
You've already won.
No, there's a fat club at work, so there's money riding on it, and it matters more when there's money on it.
Wicked, yeah. No, so January scales is in relation to Gilly, who is doing a weight loss challenge with, I think, predominantly people from work, is it?
Yeah, and I'm only allowed one beer a day, so it's a struggle.
Which comes on to my name, which the dehydrated Luke. I'm doing dry January, which I've successfully completed so far. Even for fit an away day in London in there and didn't have a beer. I took my little girl with me to try and forced me away from the bar, but that's going well. We have got Newcastle on though on Saturday, however, which is going to be the real test. The Irish Chiellini's cleared off before we come into his name. So, and then the last one was the orange Tic Tac, Adam. I don't know why we might call you this, but why do you think we give you that nickname?
Because you're both dicks.
No, basically, what it is, somebody who watches the podcast tweeted me the other day and said, you know, the lad. Who comes on called that Mad Adam? I was like, yeah. He goes, well, doesn't his head look like a Tic Tac?
It's massive. It's proper, isn't
it? I think it's the shape.
It's
like Hey Arnold on its own.
I've had it on my life. I think I've had it on my life. Like, my dad called me Pepper Army Head for ages. Like, so, like, keep them coming, and thank you for taking the time to tweet about me, you dick.
I don't know what Carl's doing. I think he's probably just trying to stick his phone against the wall or something. So we'll give him a few minutes to rejoin. But yeah, the Irish Cellino, for obvious reasons, those who know what Carl looks like, pretty much just, you know, it's like Ron Seal. It does exactly what it says on the tin, does his nickname. First things first then, and I'm looking quite forward to this, Gilly and our predictions league after West Ham away. Come on then, let's see where are we all doing.
So we're in a position where we had two people went West Ham. One of them is present.
Hi.
So Adam and Jason, minus five apiece. Beautiful. Most went for a draw. Bren, myself, Carl, by virtue of being a pussy and not giving his own prediction. Render, Cy Johnson, Smarty, Stats, and the fans all went for a draw. Jay went 3-1 lead, so gets a point. Luke went 2-1 lead, and by virtue of getting a goal difference right, gets 3 points. Now, the interesting bit there is that we'll go bottom to top. Smarty is still on single figures with 8. However, by virtue of not back in West Ham, actually moves closer really to the second Gilly. Bottom.
Just really quickly, everyone's saying that you're really loud, Gilly.
I can turn it down. That's all right. So I'll tell you what, I'll talk quieter while I turn it down in the sounds. By virtue of not screwing up this weekend, we're in a position where Smarty is now closer than to the bottom of the league. Now, hopefully that is me quieter now.
Yeah.
Is that any better? Yeah. So we are in a position. Cool. We are in a position where Smart is only now 2 points off Jason, who got the minus five. Then you've got Render, Sir Johnson, and Carl all on 11. You've got Jay and the fans on 14. Myself and Brent on 16. Adam goes top. To third on 18, and we do have a leader, and that is not Luke. Luke is on 19 points. Luke is on 19 points, and Stats is on 20. One point in it.
Tight at the top.
I'm sorting this
it
out.
Is.
Tight at the top. That's heavy. Adam, hey, that just shows, doesn't it? Our one lack of faith in your team can,
that's it.
You know, disaster.
Listen, I'm happy. Do you know what? I'll take it this week. I'm happy. I won't care.
Do you know what? How does it make you feel that you're backed against your club, though? Seriously, because I would feel absolutely horrible about myself.
Dickhead, you've been doing it all season.
not once.
Have you? What are you saying? We're going to beat City?
I've never backed against. I always go for a draw, even if I think we're going to get beat. Because first of all, I don't want minus five, but more. More to the point, I can't ever back against Leeds, no matter what. Because if something like this happens and there is a shock on the cards, you look even more of a twat.
Well done.
You know what? That was very well saved.
I was so close. Good job I stammered at the time, to be fair.
Yeah, I'll take it this week. Don't worry about it. I'm happy.
Yeah. So, based on... We've obviously gone over the predictions there. We'll... talk a little bit about the game. I think Gilly and I both did a long slog on Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening after the game. I think we were on there for about an hour and a quarter. But as you two weren't on, and you two are the eternal optimists, let's hear a bit about your two's feedback on the game. We'll start with you, Carl. And we'll talk. What I really want to focus on is not only the result, you were there. But tell me a little bit more. What was the atmosphere like? I mean, it's a five-goal game and win away from home is almost a dream away day. Tell us about it.
Well, like you've probably seen a lot of the videos around now at the moment where there's West Ham fans filming us and wondering what the fuck we were doing whenever we scored. Like, but that's what an atmosphere is like, lads, and that's what you should strive to be like. But I thought you mentioned it last week on the pod as well, Luke, where you were saying that they sang bubbles, they burst the bubbles, then they shut up until they scored. And it was essentially the same thing again. In relation to the atmosphere, like that, I think there was only just under 3,000 Leeds fans this week, and again we were still louder than the West Ham fans, which is, for you know, it's a 60,000-seater stadium. You should be louder than the home fans if you've got that many fans, like, you know.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. I think from reading bits online, a lot have said that, you know, fair play to us for doing what we did and giving the twos to Arsenal and Spurs fans and all that. So it's nice to get that recognition for not being a bottle job and, like, say, Burnley again this week. Yeah. It's a full week until their game.
Where were you sat, Carl? Were you top tier or bottom tier?
I was top tier. Like three or four rows from the edge, like.
Yeah, same. That's where I was. But Bremner's ghost sass there. What was the kickoff? What was kicking off? Was that people from the top tier trying to get down to the bottom tier, and then they were just sort of, it just caused a bit of a wave, did it?
No, there was an incident that looked like a medical incident. There was a bit of a scuffle. I think it was just before kickoff where fans were trying to get to their seats, but I arrived kind of just at kickoff, so I didn't really see that. Right. But there was a medical incident, and then for the because they try and implement safe standing there, like, people are kind of standing on stairs and all that, man. But you want to see the pile up of people that ended up falling down the stairs when we scored. It was absolutely insane, right? But what happened was, when we got the fourth one that wasn't allowed, there was an elderly chap, and he was basically caught up, and everyone just kind of, and he fell over and banged his head, and no one knew what was wrong with him because he was set down. But thankfully he was okay. It took ages to get their attention now, to be fair.
I mean, we could certainly hear watching it on the telly, because I'm a all we could hear was Leeds. I don't know if that's subconscious, because that's what you're listening out for and you're joining in your head and whatever else in your living rooms, but yeah, look, great performance on the pitch, off the pitch, by the sounds of it as well. Mad Adam, tell me, it's against the law to back against Leeds from now on, unless you're Mad Adam. So why did you back against Leeds in the first place? And I bet you were rubbing your hands after sort of 25 minutes, half an hour when both Firpo and Forshaw went off. I bet you thought, get in, I'm in for 5 points here, didn't you?
That's certainly not what I thought. I think just fucking common sense and logic, really, was where I came from that decision. We can talk about it, but the fact how depleted the squad was, you know, how well West Ham have been playing, you know, they are chasing Champions League spots. So, you know, regardless of how much I love Leeds United, there is an element.
Do you love Leeds United?
Why are you being a dickhead tonight, man? What's this? What is this? but you know, there's a bit of common sense that has to come into it now and again. And I know we've moved away from things like the hot topic, where it's all a bit of a joke. But sometimes, you know, sometimes the listeners want to actually listen to an actual logical point, which I think I try and do. But you know, I'm fucking well happy that was wrong. It was a great performance.
Who stood out for you? Who was your man of the match, Adam?
Strike.
I thought it was solid as well. What about you, Callum? I didn't ask you.
I'd be honest with you, I thought Cock was immense again. I thought he played absolutely fantastic. Like,
yeah, I've heard that.
Neither of you gone for the hat trick scorer.
Yeah, we both Matt and I both unanimously, like, hands down, both went for Harrison. And it's obviously, I think if it was a bet and you had to place your bets on a non Harrison being a non runner, who would you man of match being then, Matt?
Well, we covered that, didn't it? I thought we spoke about that. So we said that Stroik played well, and we said that Cock played well, but I'd have gone Dallas.
Yeah.
To be fair, yeah, I could see why you'd go Dallas as well. Like,
good game. Look, it's a great platform in it for us to sort of reel the Burnley win, losing the cup, to winning the league again against West Ham, to go in against a shit Newcastle side. No matter what signings they've made, they're shit. Mm. They are shit, and we should be beating. We should be beating them comfortably, and we'll come on to Newcastle in a short while.
I think me and Matt mentioned it on. We had a chat about it after the FA Cup game that we were kind of saying that if we had two or three first team 11 on that pitch against them in the FA Cup, we'd have easily won that if we'd started. We essentially the same team as Saturday, just with Bate and Yelda in the team, because they came on anyway. So it was essentially the same team that finished out the game, and look what they did. Like, I was confident enough we could get a very, very positive result going down there. Like, I won't ever give it in a predictions league, but, you know, inside I was confident,
But it's good to be confident. At least you're not backing against your side, Cal. Do you know what I mean? That's
well, I support Leeds. This is the thing. Like, this is the mad thing. I do actually support Leeds,
That's mental. Mental. Imagine you're not back in the
game.
Telling you, fucked it.
Yeah, then we obviously looked in that game for me. We're obviously threadbare, aren't we? I think if we were to take any positives out of Sunday, regardless of injuries and everything, I think it is that way. We're blooding these youngsters to be some proper minutes, and we went into it at some length, Gilly, I know, so I don't really want to waste too much time on it. But who's our? I mean, I know we've got Stroik and people that we overlook as being youngsters, Meslier even, and a few others. But out of sort of Yelda, Bate, and one or two others, Somerville, who've had spells in the first team, who do you think is going to have? Who's going to be more important for us and probably have the best career, Adam?
I think the obvious answer for that is Joffe. And then if I was going to do a top three, it'd be Joffe, Creswell. Based on based on how composed he was and how highly rated he was up in Scotland, I think you've got to say Yelda. I think they're the top three that are standing out. I don't think Somerville personally is going to. I don't think he's going to be good enough. I think he's got some unbelievable talent, but I'm just not sure whether he's going to be suited to Premier League football. I think Bate could be really, really good. Again, he's only young. You want to see him get a bit stockier and build that. But I think they're the top three for me.
Are you saying he needs a frame like Jay then?
Rather than a frame like Adam.
I mean, yeah, that's what I mean. There's one extreme to the other.
On that pitch, when you think about who was sort of opposite and stuff, he did look tiny. Carl, who's your most exciting prospect then from what you've seen? I mean, I think it's tough to overlook Stroik, and it's tough to overlook Meslier and things, because they've become such an important part of our first team plans now, because we're so used to seeing them feature when they're available. Meslier's first choice anyway, but people like Stroik and whatnot, we almost take it for granted how old he is. Do you know what I mean? He was class at the weekend. He was, but from the other runners, then who's your man to keep an eye on?
After the last 2 weeks, I know he got taken off. You know, for Rodrigo on Sunday and all that, but I think Louis Bate, man, he showed a lot of what he has to offer and what he can do. again, last week debut against Souček, came on this week. Declan Rice, you're like, come on, if the lad is doing it against them two players, regardless of whether he got taken off, that was a tactical thing. I don't even think he would have been used if. Fawshaw hadn't got injured. I think it would have been a case that Fawshaw would have come off on the 70th minute mark when Bate came off to let Rodrigo on. But the fact that he came on and he marshalled, you know, he did a good job on Declan Rice. So I'm actually really looking forward to seeing more of him in the first team. I think he could be a real cog in there when he gets a grip of it. Like,
yeah, no, I thought it was great, and the comparison I made was like with his sort of turn of feet and his change of direction, he's almost like a remold of Forshaw, but likely going to be a little bit better. So yeah, I mean, just on West Ham, I mean, they've got a good strong side, and you know they probably will do all right this season. I don't think they're quite good enough for Champions League football. But if you were to nick one of their players in the summer or in this transfer window, that would solve all our issues. It'd have to be Declan Rice, wouldn't it?
Fuck that, Lanzini.
100% Declan Rice.
No, Lanzini. Man, we're not getting Declan Rice. Be realistic.
He didn't say realistic.
Lanzini wouldn't even be in my top three. It'd be Declan Rice, Jared Bowen, and then probably
Antonio.
Yeah, probably Antonio. Those three.
I'd take Rice,
Suchek,
and Creswell.
Lanzini would be in my top five.
What have we been talking about here, right? For how many weeks that we need? Oh, we need that little 10 player, like a number 10.
He's not from
yet.
Barnsley, you know. You can't be racist to him because he's from Argentina.
Who are you talking about? I'm not. Huh?
I'm Irish. I can't be racist.
I would. He's a good player, but I don't think he's.
Three back. Okay, from a realistic standpoint, I take Lanzini because I'm missing that 10. I think he's out of contract in the summer. But unrealistically, if we could buy anyone, yes, of course, Declan Rice. I'd take Bowen and I'd probably take Forfan. Is it Forfan? Is it
Fornals?
Fornals.
That's a shout, to be fair.
I'd take Fornals.
It's a fucking nightmare with his player names. I mean, Mumpai, Forfowl. Forfowl.
Well, look, at least you know who the fuck I'm talking. At least you know what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to break into commentary
I bet you're not breaking down any doors on Wordle, are you?
No, I'm not even trying that.
What is this Wordle nonsense I keep saying that you
talked about?
Interestingly, Fornals is from Castellón, isn't he?
Is he?
Oh, you're going to say
there you go.
Fornals is, yeah, he's from Castellón.
There you go.
Pablo reincarnate. Pablo replacement, yeah?
Yeah, Pablo reincarnate, man.
Anyway, we'll play a short video and then we shall move on to this week's poll with Adam. So just bear with us a couple of minutes.
Or to know better, excited to announce a new partnership. 3Retro is the retro football shop. 3Retro was born from the love of the game, from historical nights on a cold terrace, and from the love of vintage shirts of a bygone era. Find the referral link and discount code in our social media accounts and in the comments and descriptions of our To Know Better podcast recordings for a 10% discount on the full range.
Yeah, so there we go. 3Retro, get on it and get some money spent. We are going to move on to the poll, which Adam's going to introduce more enthusiastically than Carl tried last week, hopefully. Go for it.
Do we? I thought we had a little sexy introduction for this.
We do. Luke, I even said it last week.
There we go. I'm sorry, Carl, so unenthusiastic last week.
Twitter poll results.
It's not like me to get something right, is it? Fucking hell. Right.
Just do your job, Tic Tac.
No, Pepper Army, whatever you want to call me. So each week, as our loyal listeners know, we put out a poll to our Twitter fans, and we ask you to choose the main subject for the pod. So this week's was LS11 Kiddies Club, i.e. are we good enough to stay up with the kids? Hurry up and fuck off, which teams are relegation bound. Please don't leave us. Is this Bielsa's last season? Who replaces him if it is? And Big Bunch of Bastards, the Cancel Culture Club entitlement. And this week's winner with 57% of the vote was Please Don't Leave Us. So, Bielsa's last season, who replaces him? I'll come to you, Gilly. What is it, Bielsa's last season with Leeds?
I think it likely is. I hate to think of it, but I think it likely is. And in terms of the replacement, so we've been linked with Diego Martinez a few times. So I think from a was it Sociedad and Osasuna that he's been at. I think he got Osasuna promoted. Spanish speaking, has got a side promoted. Carl's on his side. What's
Granada,
going on?
It was at Granada.
I'm on my side, am I? Oh, my phone's gone bandy here. I'm stuck to the wall.
I don't know what's going on.
My laptop's being shit as well, so I thought it was me at first. He's highly thought of. He's only 41, so if he gets into the right job, he can be in it for a long period. I think from a perspective of continuity, I think if it's his last season, the club already know.
Yeah,
I think that they'd always said that they'd have that crossover. And so if it is, I think the club already know. So the only reason I'm saying I think it is on the basis that we're already quite well beyond where he's been with any other club before. But the other side to it is, it might well not be. He says he's in love with the city, not just the club. He says he's in love with the city. And my understanding is he's brought his wife over and bought a house. So, yeah, we're in a position where actually we can allow ourselves to believe, I think. We can allow ourselves to believe he might be here for another five. We don't know. But
that's the beauty of it, isn't it? I think
yeah, it is. And I don't think we'll find out.
Because he signs one-year contracts. That's the beauty of it. He's so loyal, but unpredictable, I suppose, which are almost, you know,
The weird thing about it is that
polar opposite.
When he talks about it, he says that he signs one-year contracts so that he doesn't want to be in a position where the club don't want him anymore and it's a challenging situation. So in actual fact, the signing of a one-year contract is his view of being loyal to that club because he doesn't want to be on a long contract and then not want him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, fair point.
And I actually fully agree with that, mate, to be fair. Luke, what are you saying? Do you reckon last season, if it is, who's coming in?
Do you know what? I said when we were going through a bit of a tough period in terms of results that I said it in one of the groups. I think how our season plays out, we stay up and Bielsa leaves, we've already replaced him for next season and that work's already ongoing. Seeing as the results have got a little bit more positive, it almost makes me a little bit more positive in reflection. And I almost think that if it is his last season, I still think he's going to be at the club in some coaching type, advisory type role. I don't think it's the last we'll see of him as Leeds fans, but I think he might step down as head coach manager and we'll bring in potentially Martinez, somebody who Bielsa's fond of and has recommended to the club and done their, you know, probably sat down and done the due diligence with Angus and with Orta and with Rads and actually spends the season mentoring them, which I think would be ideal for us next year with the transition, Colin, bloody hell. So another name that had been being thrown about quite a bit was Abel Ferreira, I believe, who is a Portuguese manager at Palmeiras at the minute. I think he's won the South American version, Copa del America.
Libertadores,
that's it. And he's been about, he's done a bit of work in Europe.
Just mentioned Colin, Luke. Can we have the London video? As we've mentioned Colin.
Well, why not? It's a Tuesday night. We can do what we want.
We're in London. That's the fucking difference.
Fucking love it.
Fucking love that.
So
it's the best pop-up snippet ever.
It's brilliant, isn't it? I like the other one, though, where he's like this, where he goes into the camera.
Oh, yeah. It's all new gallery about it. Yeah, yeah.
I like it. What the fuck's going on?
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, look, I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that that could effectively replace him, but not in the same manner. They're not going to have the same expectation in terms of, you know, that they probably wouldn't have played. I think he's likely the only manager on the planet who would have played through our recent fixture list. I don't think there's another manager on the... If they had an inkling that they could have got those games off, I think every other manager on the planet, bar Bielsa, gets them games taken, you know, gets them games written off. So look, he's going to be difficult to replace. Is he going to be still here at the end of the season? In my eyes, yes, in some shape or form. As head coach, I'm not too sure.
So do you think they'll do a Liverpool like back in the day when Roy Evans went upstairs and they brought in Gerard Houllier? That type of...
Well, I think Scum did it as well, didn't they? Scum did it with Moyes and Ferguson more recently.
Did that cause some shit, though, didn't it?
Is it a good thing to do? You know,
no, but maybe. But I'm not saying that he comes in and works in the office upstairs. I'm saying that he comes in and he mentors the new manager to play, you know, to help them as much as it does us. So we almost have two head coaches or two managers for next season. But what Bielsa's doing is passing on everything, which was why Diego Martinez would absolutely fit that massively. I see you laughing at.
Adam's name. Sorry.
That's my view on it. I don't think the club are naive enough to let Bielsa just walk away from the club. And I don't think that we.
I'd take that bet either.
I'll take that bet, brother. We'll all take it. Yeah. All of us. All of us will take that bet.
So do you think, though, I'll open this up. I'll come to you first, Carl, on this one. So we've what Luke said there about getting the games called off, and most managers would have done it, or pretty much, I'd say, agree. Every manager on the planet would have tried to get some kind of advantage, especially given our injury problems. But we played with the...
Great shout.
That's a really good shout, and I'll come to that in a minute, Carl. But do you think that the integrity and now the respect that the media have given, not just Leeds United as a club, because, you know, we're always named Dirty Leeds and all that sort of nonsense, but do you think the respect that we have now got over the past few weeks, because we fulfilled fixtures when we should, you know, when we've had every reason to fuck them off, do you think Bielsa will become more ingrained? Do you think he's the type of guy who'll go, oh, everybody now, not just the people of Leeds who respect me? And he's a man of integrity. So now that he's getting the respect that he deserves nationwide and league-wise, do you think that could sway his decision and we'll see him here next season?
Yeah.
Yeah? I know what you did.
I was grinning here to myself. I was like, just keep going. I don't think that'll sway his decision at all. I think what'll sway his decision is whether he wants to stay or not. And that's always what's going to be the final decision, is whether he wants or not. I don't think the reputation that, you know, well, he's started to grow for himself after how it started in England, the way it is now, I don't think that kind of thing bothers him. I don't think, if he wants to stay, I think he'll stay. But I also think that if he does decide to leave in the summer, I think he and Rads and Angus and Victor they're all sitting around the table discussing the next manager. I think he's going to have a massive influence as to who comes in next. I don't see any way, shape or form that he's not going to be an influence on who comes in next. I think he'll stay. I think he's going to stay this season as head coach. And then I think once we find the manager that we can all agree will be the best replacement for him, I think he's going to look after the academy after that, you know. Like Gilly said, he's moved his wife over here. She's designing the gym and fitness centre for the office staff in the East Stand. You know what I mean? She's doing all that. She's ingraining herself within the club as well. So who's to say that he doesn't take over the academy side of things once it happens? Yeah. That's just my opinion. Like,
yeah, that's good. It's a good point. And I think from one of the comments there on the YouTube from Carl Wish for Show, man, you guys doing my head in tonight. But Carl, what do we think? He's doing a reasonable job at Huddersfield. I mean, I must admit, I don't look at the championship now that we're not in there. But what are your thoughts? Do you reckon Carlos could come back as the ready made replacement, or what about Mark Jackson? Is he under 23s manager now? So I know he was in the 18s. So if he stepped up to 23s, could we see and the amount of players coming through the 23s? Could we see? Would you be happy with Jackson? I mean, we had the George Graham and then O'Leary brought on. You know, that era by bringing him up through that period.
Yeah, but I think Jackson or Oli. I'm just glad it's not me getting it tonight. That's all I'm fucking concerned about. Like, I think your point is a good point, Adam, about Jackson and comparing it to O'Leary with George Graham there, but Mark Jackson doesn't get the same amount of time on the first team bench on match days. I don't imagine he gets the same amount of time as Carlos did when he was at Leeds. I don't think he gets the same amount of time around the first team as O'Leary did. So to throw him in, I think if we're going down that route, I think another year of Bielsa and Carlos is the ready-made replacement, because he'll have 3 years of league experience under his belt. He'll have 3 years of it just being him as the main man. And I think that'll serve him a lot better to come back in a year's time rather than straight away. Like, but that, you know.
Just really quickly, the reason we're talking about this, people in the comments, is this won the poll. We didn't want to talk about it, to be fair, and we appreciate it. It probably sounds like we've been quite negative. None of us actually physically wanted to talk about this.
Why do you think we put it out to the public?
Nobody wants Bielsa to leave. We appreciate. Yeah, we should probably be living in the sunshine and appreciating every second that Bielsa's here, because it ain't gonna last a lifetime.
Absolutely, we have to be realistic, though.
Yeah, of course we do. Mark Edison said, "If we have already identified Bielsa's placement, why is he not already at the club?" Because I think that's what we're talking about. It probably will be next year onwards. It probably wouldn't be now. That's what I said about the mentoring. He's already looking at houses in Weatherby, which is a great sign. He might be moving here forever. Maybe he's going to stay here and hopefully stay forever. Moving on. Shall we fuck that off now? Because I've had enough of talking about Bielsa.
go on, fuck it.
I'll say, let's open it one more time, right? If money, no object.
No, let's not bother. Let's talk about.
That was heavy.
Go on, sorry, Adam. Go on.
Honestly, mate, you are being a right. I can't wait to that. Come on, it's live. Fuck you. Do you know what? Fuck you.
No, come do you know on, what?
No, fuck you.
Come on. Come on. Before we do move on, this is something that Half Space Nat posted, but it's about Erik ten Hag, the Ajax manager. It's just interesting because it just kind of aligns with a philosophy that kind of Bielsa works under, so it might be an option, you know. His quote is, "I want to work for an organization with a clear philosophy, attainable ambitions, and honest people. If I don't have that idea, I don't start it. The last thing I want is to look over my shoulder to make sure they don't shoot me in the back." That's very much along the same lines as Bielsa's attitude to going towards a club.
Is there anybody in the world that doesn't want that?
Pardon?
Is there anybody in the world that doesn't want that in any job and in any walk of life?
Yeah, I'm not saying that's, you know, but you don't hear managers coming out and saying they won't start it. But you hear them going, "It's probably not the right time for me now," and all that kind of bullshit and stuff like that. But he's coming out going, I'm not taking a job unless it aligns with the values that I fucking want. And those values seem to match up with the way Bielsa thinks about things. He wouldn't have taken us on if they didn't guarantee new training ground facilities, all this kind of stuff, you know, under 23, blah, 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 and just carry on from there. You know, I think same thing. But anyway.
You countdown.
That's fuck off. That wasn't too bad. I actually read something of significance.
Carl, was that a question? Were you asking us a question there?
I wasn't asking a question. No, but I was just, before we moved on, I just thought, fuck it, just throw that name out there for a bit of crack and see what kind of chaos we can catch off it for a bit of fun.
Oh, right. But yeah. Okay. Right. Cool. Anyway, we'll move on very swiftly because that has absolutely drained the life out of any listeners who were listening. I probably half asleep now, probably. including myself. But yeah, moving on. We obviously have the Magpies visiting us on Saturday from St. James's. Start with how weeks. I mean, we're obviously never going to guess our lineup in a million years, but I mean, Newcastle. Let's just have a little bit of a minute just to talk about. I know it's not Newcastle pod, and we don't really care, but they've obviously got quite a substantial amount of money behind them. They've made a couple of signings already that haven't really. I mean, they've only been there 2 minutes, so I mean, I can't really say that they've not sort of dug up trees or anything like that. But do you expect them to continually strengthen by overspending in this window, and are they preparing for a good championship side rather than to stay up this season?
I mean, we saw the links with Tarkowski from Burnley. I genuinely think what they are doing is relegating their rivals by signing their players. I don't think Chris Wood is what their fans would have wanted. I think that if you look at his scoring record, his goals have dried up. However, he's been playing in a terrible team. So, you know, what they have signed is a fullback that's going to get some balls in the box. He's good in dead ball situations. I think it's going to be massively underwhelming for those fans. But at the same time, if you think back to when City first had money, it was, the Robinho situation. I expected them to massively, massively push the ball out for Coutinho. I expected them to make a big play for him. I think, he would have been... He's somebody that wasn't going to sign for a Champions League... A team going to try to win the Champions League. He was never going to get a place in one of them. So the next thing you think is, well, there's a project starting there. Is he going to be interested in that? Especially when they can throw as much money at him as they want to. So I was really surprised when you see them signing Chris Wood. However, if they also sign Tarkowski, what they are doing is relegating Burnley.
Mm-hmm. I think Norwich is shit. Coutinho. Is Gilly really laggy or what? Or is it me?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I can see it. No, it's me.
Yeah. Just one point, just on Coutinho, it sort of almost goes back to what I said about them building a good, strong championship team should they get relegated. Coutinho probably, I know he was only coming on loan, but they wanted the option or obligation to buy, did Barca. And did Coutinho want that option in his contract to be playing in the championship next season? Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, but equally, I genuinely think that with him being able to play, especially if they can keep some of the forwards fit that they've already got, I don't mean Wood, I mean who they already had, especially Sam Maximin. I think they've got a chance because Watford are shit, Norwich are shit, Everton are doing their level best to make their way down the league. All right, they've sacked the Spanish waiter now, but still, you know, there are a lot of sides around that are dross. So, you know, from that sort of perspective, I think anybody that can invest in their side has got a chance, especially if they're going to be able to take the talent from the teams around them. And that's why I'm not worried about us. I haven't been worried about us throughout.
You're in 360 pixels. So you think they're going to go to lengths to try and weaken their relegation rivals? Do you think that includes signing Todd Cantwell then?
It could well do. It could well do, because you know what? They can put them out to pasture as soon as they got past this season, because in the close season, they can spend a huge amount again, because Ashley, tighter than a duck's ass, had not spent any money. So, you know, they've got overhead when it comes to profit and sustainability. So I think there's options there for them to be in a position where they can really strengthen in the summer. So what they'll do now is weaken their rivals and then strengthen in the summer and let the rivals walk for nothing, because actually the money means nothing to them.
Yeah, hey, that's a fair point.
It's cynical, but I think that might be part of it.
Absolutely. Adam, what's your thoughts on I want to come into the game now. I don't really want to talk about Newcastle as a whole, but they've got, on paper, they've got a relatively strong side, haven't they? They're just absolutely shy. And I still look back to the appointment of Eddie Howe. And still don't see why that was a good appointment at the time when they've got all this money. Where are they going to cause us problems other than the obvious in Saint-Maximin? They were really poor, weren't they, when we played them at their place?
Yeah, I was at that game, actually, and they were dog shit. First half, we should have battered them. But it was just typical first few games of the season. We just weren't quite clicking where we should have been, but we should have battered them. Were they going to cause us problems other than Saint-Maximin? I don't think they are. I genuinely don't think, as you said, I don't think they've got one player other than him that can. And that's probably more dangerous in itself, because we're all going out, they're wank and they've got no dangerous players. It'll be like Joe Linton getting a hat-trick or something stupid. Do you know what I mean? Because we'll be so concentrated on him.
Like we did to West Ham.
But then I can't see it happening. I just don't see. I think Gilly made a good point about them strengthening themselves to relegate others. I just don't know how they're going to give us a real game. The way that they're formation-wise, I think they play wing-backs, don't they? So we'll just go man to man. Yeah, Matt Ritchie, who's not a wing-back at all, he's a lazy winger. So having him bombing up the wings ain't going to help. Manquillo, I think they play on the left, was bought by Liverpool as a right wing-back, but they're playing on the left. So he cuts inside, so it's easy to read. I just don't know.
This is coming for a lad who's played at a decent level, by the way.
I was at a conference where.
Look at his face, he looks fuming.
You wind me up, you're getting on my tits tonight. I just don't think there's anything there that we need to worry about. I think Eddie Howe, he's gone there for money, simple as that. If he gets relegated, it doesn't really matter because he got Bournemouth up four leagues or whatever
it was. It's a free hit for him, isn't it? It's a free hit. He's going to get paid decent money.
Yeah, if you keep...
Did you hear who Newcastle bid for today?
Who?
Eden Hazard.
I know that. Yeah,
oh, I saw that, Joe. 44 million.
He accepted and he turned it down.
I mean, that's on everything, done it.
Why would he go to a fucking relegation threatened team?
Exactly.
At the top of the game all his career is fucking.
Eddie Howe also he also said when they were talking about players that they're bringing in with all this money that this is going to put a lot of players off, that they're not having any relegation clauses in their contract. So any player that's going to join them is joining them for the at least two seasons with no relegation, unless they're only signing a 1-year contract or 6-month contract or whatever, which is going to put your good players off, because if they're going to potentially still want to be playing for their nation,
World Cup coming up,
you've got and they don't want to be playing Championship football next year, whether or not they've played a part in that relegation. Newcastle have been absolutely shite for the first half of this season. Whether they stay up or not now isn't going to make a difference to somebody's record. It's going to still say got relegated with Newcastle, whether they played half a season, three games, or one game.
Yeah.
So it's going to put a lot of players off. Carl, then, where are we going to go? I mean, we're obviously not in the greatest nick in terms of injuries. Forshaw tweeted out the other day or Instagrammed or whatever, saying he's fighting to be fit for Saturday. If not, see you after the international break. I still think this international break's coming at a great time for us as Leeds fans, just for the injuries. Even though we've got a bit of momentum, great. Well, how do you expect us to line up and how do you see the game going?
I think we'll line up pretty much the same as we did on Sunday, bar, you know, obviously if Firpo and Foshaw. We don't, like, has anyone heard what the crack is with Firpo? Does anyone know? Did anyone hear anything?
I think he's
like
all right.
That?
I think it was just a caution. Yeah, but we've also got Llorente to come back in. Does he come straight back in?
I think we'd probably go with Llorente and Stewart, I think, at the back, and then Cock in the same place for Phillips.
I think we might see Stewart if Firpo's not fit.
Great shot. We could go
three at the back, three centre backs.
We don't think we will, because they'll play Wood up front and they'll have some Maximin and Joe Linton off him. So I don't think we'll go three at the back, because he don't match it up that way, does he?
No, I know. Yeah, but so I don't think it's going to be much of a change actually from Sunday. You know, they'll probably start with Brady, they'll probably start with whatever.
That is a brilliant comment.
Do you get it, Carl?
I do, yeah. It's a fucking magic spell.
Go on, what magic spell? Why is it funny?
Because it's fucking Shelby looks like fucking Voldemort, doesn't he?
Hey!
He ain't got a fucking moron or something, like. I'm sitting there laughing at it. I'm not laughing at it because all you pricks are laughing at it. Like, fucking hell.
Carl said here that he thinks Strike might play in Forshaw's role. I don't think he's going to move Cock out of there, unfortunately, Carl.
No,
I think
he played really well at weekend, didn't he?
Yeah. Did Strike move to left back potentially, but we know Hjelde can play there as well if Firpo is out. Carl says yes on Llorente. That is a great comment, by the way. In fact, I'm starring that because that's a brilliant one. need to keep Shelvey quiet, so hopefully Forshaw plays Saturday. I don't think I don't rate Shelvey, Carl.
He's not a threat.
I don't know why.
He's a good passer.
He's a good passer.
But did he didn't pass anything when we played them last time, because we pressed so fucking hard. Like, that's the thing. He doesn't get a chance to ping these balls about the place because we press so high up the pitch anyway. So,
but that's why we want
Forshaw. Neutralised him. Pardon?
But that's why we want Forshaw. And that's the comment, isn't it? If Forshaw's in there, he's all over him.
Yeah. But I think Cock could do the same job on him.
Or Bate, as well.
You know?
I think you're probably right, Carl. I think we probably do line up relatively similarly. Forshaw's available. I still don't think he risks him. I think we might see a first start. But then we've got Rodrigo coming back as well. Does he come straight to the team? There's so many questions to be asked. And to be honest, we don't have a fuck. We're all speculating. We don't have a clue what Bielsa's doing. Mesley will probably be starting up top or something. Do you know what I mean?
He could do a job.
In terms of Newcastle players, then, if we could have one of them unavailable or playing for us, who would you pick, Matt?
It's easy.
I mean, I wouldn't start him over our two main wingers, but you can't look past him, Max. I mean, you just can't. The only problem is he's made out of biscuit.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd play him up top, make him into a striker, wouldn't you, Adam?
Yeah, he's not built, mate. Not built enough, but yeah.
Has got the pace.
I can see what you're trying to do, but yeah.
Work like don't get grumpy, Adam. Come on.
If we could get Callum Wilson.
I'm just listening to you, fuckers, man. It's all good. Just listening to someone
shouting. Who would your pick be, and why would you play him up front?
I'll pick Chris Wood, because it's a logical thing to do.
Why?
Is he a striker? If you want a striker, you want to pick a player from Newcastle, and why I'd play him in up front, I'd pick Chris Wood. He's a striker. There you go.
All right. No, but who would you pick from Newcastle if you could, or have unavailable if you could against us this weekend?
Oh, unavailable. It's Maximum, isn't it? He's the only player that they've got who can actually do anything. So
yeah. I don't know. I don't think there's anybody else in that side who's worth any money, like decent money. And I think he's probably their only threat in attack. They're poor at the back. They don't really have anything, do they? I just can't see how they can come here after the performances we've put in. They've just been beaten by Norwich. you know, everything's pointing towards a Leeds thrashing, but we just know that it's fucking not going to happen, don't we? We know it's going to be a tough day in the office.
It's not now.
It's horrible. It's horrible. Shut up, Carl. If it's your problem if you want to believe in black magic.
I don't believe in black magic. I just don't believe in jinxing shit.
But, so your I guess it's unanimous, Carl.
No, I'd actually, I'd take Callum Wilson if we could keep him fucking fit for 5 minutes.
He'd
be the player. But like, we've got Rodrigo there, and he's not exactly pulling up trees, is he? So you get
Wilson into a 10?
No, but you'd make him into a striker. Like, I'm saying challenging for a place here, man. Do you listen at all, or do you just sit there going, ah, I'm going to wreck his chops now in a second. Ah, I'll say this shite now. Ah, ah, ah. It's like dealing with fucking cats trying to get an opinion out and then someone take it seriously.
There's some nibbles going on tonight. There's some tired boys.
Not nibbles at all, man. It's not at all. It's just I do question you sometimes, you know.
You know what? I'm fishing with dynamite tonight. So
I go with Callum Wilson. Strictly because whenever Bamford's out, we don't have a natural striker to come in, and he is definitely a natural striker that I would happily put up top. Because I think he's very much.
You wouldn't make him into a right back then.
Well, no, I wouldn't go to that extreme. No. I wouldn't go that far.
Right, that nicely takes us on to the penultimate part of the show, which is talking about Carl's favourite again. Talking about this.
Auto no better predictions.
Go for it, Matt.
Yeah, so I'll come straight back to you, Luke, given that you've been handing it around to everybody else for this episode. So straight back to yourself. We've talked about the sides. We've talked about the lineups. Yeah. Where are you going?
I'm going to go. I think Chris Wood's going to come back and haunt us and get the first goal, but I think we're going to win the game 4-1.
4-1. Well, me and you have not gone the same score this time. You'll be pleased to know. Adam, you next. Wish for sure it is.
Wish for sure.
I'm going to go 3-1 Leeds.
You've gone same as me. Cal?
Almost went 3-1.
3-0.
Oh!
To Newcastle.
No. I told you, I support Leeds.
And I've got 3-1. So we'll get all of the details from the guys, from the remaining people, should I say, not just guys. I get all of the details from there. And what I'm going to do this week is we'll share some of the graphics because I've not been doing the league tables and getting them out on socials and stuff. So you can have a bit of a look at how things will be going.
Wicked. Thank you. Go on, sorry. Do you want to say something, Adam?
No, I just said sounds good.
All right. Well, one last thing. We have got a small competition running at the moment. And you all right?
Yeah, I'm fucking sad, yeah.
Have you only just noticed?
I just noticed Adam's name has changed, yeah.
Oh, Adam's? You've not noticed yours yet?
I don't care about mine. I don't give a shit, man. At least I can't be bought on fucking Wish.
we've got a short competition running for. We've got two winners for the third kits. All you need to do is subscribe and retweet and follow the pod and myself, and then we're going to pick it as soon as we get to 500. At last look, I think we only need about another 70 subscribers until that's drawn, so it could even be before the game at the weekend. So yeah, get yourselves entered. Tell everybody else who you know to get entered as well. To be honest with you, they might not even need to retweet it. They might not even need to retweet it or follow us because it'll be picked from our subscribers list. So if you've got sons and kids who really want a shirt, get them all to subscribe. Any other business? We've got Brady and Coke coming up after the game on Saturday. I hope I'm not on that one. I don't know who
Jesus,
is.
Me too.
I hope I'm not. But yeah, we'll have that as per. You're after the match.
Yeah, me and you won't because me and you did last BNC, didn't we? So we won't be on next one.
That's a bonus. That'll be on
Matty and Jay, I think.
Is it? They'll be happy about that, won't they? On a Saturday afternoon.
Fuming.
So Jay's already sent a text to try and get out of it.
Does anybody... He's moving house still. What's he doing? Carrying the house?
Building Batman, brick by brick.
He's moving it brick by brick, yeah. Who wants to give us a prediction? Oh, we've got one from Bremner's Ghost. Are you going to go 5-0 or 5-1 Bremner's Ghost fans? Need just one of those, please.
Everybody else to get in first.
Yeah, and what we'll do really, really, really quickly, lads, before we close off, we'll just have a quick game of who played for both, and we'll focus on Newcastle and Leeds, and we'll start with the happiest soul in the world, Adam.
Andy O'Brien.
And we'll go around clockwise, so I'll go next. James Milner.
Gilly? Is that me next? Batty.
Yeah.
Fuduka.
Gary Speed.
He who shall not be named. Alan.
Oh, did you have to? Woody.
I'm out. I'm going to pretend. Do.
Oh, yeah.
Great Ooh. Shout. I'm going to go for... Fucking hell, I've got loads and they've gone now. did he not have a spell up there? He didn't, did he? I'm out.
Don't think so.
I don't think he did.
Vidu?
Eh? I said that, mate.
Viduka? Nobody said Viduka, did they?
Yeah. Chris Wood.
Well done, Adam. You're the champion today. No, well done.
I said Wood. I didn't say Viduka.
I said Viduka.
He said Viduka. Did you? Lucky Gilly.
I did, yeah.
Stop crying.
You're cheating, bastard.
Oh, look, we've got some beauties coming in as well. Anita Sellers.
Anita Scott Sellers, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Scott Sellers, yeah.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us. As I say, we'll be on for...
Did anybody say Milner?
Yeah.
Milner, yeah, that was said earlier on me, I think. Yeah, see you all on Saturday after the game. There'll be a few of us out in and around Leeds, so we'll either see you in the stadium or... Smarty and Jay might see you on here afterwards. Keep on joining. Get everyone to subscribe if you like it. If you don't, don't tell them about us. We don't care.
Yeah, please subscribe.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thank you for listening to another Otto Know Better podcast, the independent Leeds United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address @OttoKnowBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke aftermatch podcasts. We've 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out, though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.